Okay. The beginning of the parasha talks about the brothers of Yosef. Yosef tells them the dreams. Yosef's father, Yaakov, loves Yosef from all the children. So they're jealous of him. They hate him. Jealousy brings to hatred. I'm not going to go into jealousy right now. Maybe I should. I'm not going to speak about jealousy right now, but jealousy brings to hatred. And then the brothers, Yosef tells them the dreams, and then they hated him even more. They cannibal Echav, his brothers were jealous. It's interesting, it points out the brothers were jealous. Just thought of this now. It only points out the brothers were jealous after the dreams. The first time it says they hated him. It sounds like they hated him, not necessarily only a jealousy. It says, I'm not sure, it says they hated him. Only for some reason, it says the brothers saw their father loved them more than the other brothers, and they hated him, which sounds like they were jealous. Sounds like they were jealous, and it's better. Jealous. But for some reason, I don't know why, it doesn't say in the pasuk they were jealous, it just says they hated him. Later, by the dreams, it says, after the dreams, it says, Vekana Ba'af of his brothers were jealous. Va'aviv Shamar Sadavar, his father watched, his father wanted to see whether the dreams would come true. Then the brothers end up selling Yosef. They said let's kill him. Then they said no, let's not kill him. Reuven said let's throw him into a pit. Then they eventually took him out of the pit and they sold him. So obviously we know that I'm not saying this. We don't necessarily have rights to be Bible critics. Chas v'shalom. There are these people nowadays who don't keep Torah and mitzvahs and are Bible critics. He did this wrong. He did this wrong. We don't, obviously, when we talk about our avos, we're talking about people on a very high madrega. You know, the beauty of the Torah, I wanted to speak this out last week even, the beauty of the Torah is so blunt. The Torah teaches us the mida of MS. The Torah says last week's parasha, that Reuven, Vayishkar of Reuven, it says Reuven slept with Bilhah. And it doesn't mean, the Chazal tells, it doesn't really mean that he actually, Chas v'Shalom, had anything to do with Bilhah. It just means he switched the beds. But Chazal is so blunt. What other religion talks so harshly? Harshly, not just honest. What other religion is honest about their people? But let alone harsh. It says it worse than it was. Because the Torah, what's up, Shat? Why does the Torah do that? The Torah, many times you'll find, he did this wrong, and he really didn't do that wrong. Because the Torah is saying, the Torah is bringing out the depth of the sin. That when you go ahead and switch beds, that's being mezalzel in your covenant of your father, ki'ilu. Ki'ilu, he was mezana chas v'shalom with Bilhah. It's trying to bring out, we want to bring out the MS, we want to bring out the mida, what's going on over here, and how bad it is. And the Torah brings that in such a powerful way to teach us. The Torah, it's unbelievable to go through when you see the Torah of Chazal, about the Torah makes it sound so bad. And like they did Mamash a worse Navera. The Torah about, the Navi tells us about David HaMelech. For a regular Joe Shmo, David HaMelech, David HaMelech, oh, look what he did. But Chazal tells us that she really got a get, and Chazal tells all these things that Chas v'Shalom David HaMelech wasn't done Kipshuta. But Chazal don't tell us all that. And the Navi doesn't say all that. Because the Navi wants to tell us that, bottom line, you have to admit the truth, and you have to see Lamaisa, what caused it. It was the Taiva, it was the jealousy. Don't cover up for your crimes. You have to bring out your crimes and admit your crimes and learn from your mistakes. Don't try to cover up. The Torah doesn't cover up at all. It's an unbelievable thing. But the brothers, we're going to speak about the brothers, Kilo, we have a right to talk about them. We do, because the Torah wants us to learn from them. Obviously, the Torah wants me to learn from it, even though we don't come to their toenails. But the Shvatim. But the Pshat over here, the brothers are jealous, and they say we should kill Yosef, and they sell Yosef. So obviously the Torah is teaching us, first of all, obviously the power of jealousy. But I want to speak about the midah of honesty, as opposed to focus right now on the midah of jealousy. The brothers knew they hated Yosef. They hated him, so they knew they hated him. But they felt that they could paskin that Yosef was high misa. They didn't think they didn't dispose of Yosef. If you say that over, it's wrong. they paskin, they brought a Kadosh Baruch Hu involved, they paskin l'shem Shemayim. But the Torah is telling us that that psak, when there's nekina there, when there's hatred there, so it alterates even a tzaddik's look. The Torah says, Sheikhad l'sikach, Sheikhad yaver neicha chamin, yisav zibit tzaddikin. Even if you think you're right, even if you think, oh, it's psak is right, you can never know you're right when you have negias. You can never know you're right when you have other things behind it. You can never know. Many, many times, other people that are chashiv, they're asked the shayla. They say, look, I really feel strongly like this, but I can't paskin. Because I can't ignore the fact, you can't deny you have negias. You can't deny the fact you have negias. Look, right in La Halacha, you're not allowed to paskin about your brother because of that negias. Even though it's a there's a kasa, but the pashup chat and the you can't paskin for a relative is there's negias there. You know for sure. You can't paskin. You can't know for sure. And even if you do know for sure, it's not emistic. It's not emistic to paskin. It's not emistic to paskin when there's negias there. So they had no right to paskin on their brother. And because they paskin on their brother with the negias, they paskin the wrong stack, but they were sure they were saying the right thing. Never be so sure. The person has to learn to know himself, first of all, very well, to know his weaknesses, and also he has to know that as soon as you have a negias, pasal. Adam, Adam, Raya, Nige, Atzmo, as soon as you know you have a negias, you're pasal. Go ask someone else what they think. Don't paskin yourself, don't decide yourself. This doesn't just come to paskining. We're not judges, maybe we'll be zocha to be dayanim, but when we paskin what to do, should I go to this chasna, should I go to this bar, should I do this, should I do that, should I go to sleep now, we have to realize that many times that we have negias, and many times we don't see through the negias. So a person has to be very careful to know himself, and to know that once there's negias, you're not allowed to make a decision. You have to be completely honest. So many crooked people out there. It's like you make a building. If you make a building and the foundation is a little bit off, the buildings forget it. The building's dysfunctional. It'll collapse. When a person is not completely honest, in fact, the measuring of a building is called Amas HaBinyan. It's called the Amas HaBinyan, the measuring stick to build. They use a stick to measure the straightness. It's called Amas HaBinyan, Lashon of MS, straight. MS, if it's not MS, it's not a building. A person that's not fully MS, it's like the first meter, really. We're talking about a person working on himself. We're talking about a person fixing himself. The first thing he's got to fix is really MS. Because if he's not MS, then I'm not doing it because I like COVID. I'm not doing it because I'm jealous. I'm not doing it because I have a taiva for it. I'm doing it because it's doing l'shem Shemayim. Unless you first really work on MS and be committed to MS, to honesty. Honesty, I'm talking about now between you and yourself. We know to honest other people, we know a little better. But how many people are honest with themselves? Mimela, they're dishonest with others. Mimela, they do averis. Person be honest with himself. That's the first step. You can do all the averis, in the world. But if you're honest about it, you have a chance for tshuva. Because you're mocking your problems, you're mocking your averis. If you're not honest, there's no hope for tshuva. How can you do tshuva when you never realize you did anything wrong? Me? He started up with me. He deserves it. Me, I'm perfect. The midah of emes is the most important midah for a person to acquire. It's a foundation for everything. It's a foundation of the other midahs. I think there's a little remes. I think there's a yisimin in the story of Yosef that also reflects the lack of emes here. If I'm allowed to say this, that look what happens. First they're going to kill him. Then Reuven says, no, let's throw him into a pit. Then Yehuda says, let's sell them. That itself, and I think sometimes a person can see this on himself, when you start saying, I gotta do this, okay, maybe we'll do it this way, maybe we'll do it that way, that itself is a riot that there's not MS there. If they felt he should be killed, then he should be killed. What, is he changing now to throw him into a pit? No, we'll do it this way. No, don't throw him into a pit, sell him. That's a big change. That's one big change from killing him to selling him. What's going on here? If he's Chayav Misa, now you're selling him? They should have chapped on themselves. And when I started changing so quickly, what's that? Back and forth, changing. That's a lack in MS itself. What's the MS? What should have been done? We're changing here. So that itself is a simon that a person's not MS when he can fluctuate so fast on his decisions on different things. It's mamish, the midah of emes is the sight of everything. All bad midahs are definitely a reflection of lack of emes. But I think it's befitting. I think it's connected that Yehuda, later on we have a parasha of Yehuda and Tamar. Again, the Torah, no hiding, tells us a story about Yehuda and Tamar. There's this great lesson to learn from that. And Yehuda meets this lady, he finds that it's Tamar, and Tamar, Chazal tells Tamar, even they were going to burn Tamar. She was a Bas Kayin, she's Chayv Sreifa, Chazal say. But she wouldn't say that Yehuda was the one. The Gemara learns out about Metziah and Makkos. Better that a person should burn in a kivshan than embarrass someone in public. It sounds, by the way, you know, we are nice, we see it in the Musa Sefer, say, oh, Noach la'adam shetibo kivshan mizbayish b'nei chaveru b'rabin. It's a cute thing. Tamar, it was in practice by Tamar. Vaistais, it's not just a cute thing. Vaistais is nagei l'maisa. Chas v'shalom, it's ever nagei l'maisa, ask a shayla. But l'maisa, Tamar did a l'maisa. She was ready to burn, she was ready to die, not to embarrass Yehuda b'rabin. Half of the fell, the godless of Tamar. Unbelievable. She's like the Mashiach come through her. What a godless. What a greatness of a person. What strength. But the Chazal focus a lot about Yehuda's greatness. Amazing thing. This parsha is brought out in many Gemaras as a greatness of Yehuda. The Gemara says, the Gemara talks about it. Yehuda says, Sadka mimeni. Yehuda, first of all, admits he embarrasses himself. It doesn't seem like such a greatness because, like, when you let someone die. But, you know, you'd be surprised what people might convince themselves of to avoid embarrassment. Oh, you know, she really was bizarre. She fooled me, this and that. You never know what people convince themselves of. You never know. People sometimes will let someone else die over their own embarrassment, their own things. But fine. But more than that, more than the fact that he came forward, but he said, Sadka mimeni. She's more righteous than me. She was right. I should have taken her, I should have married her myself, I shouldn't have made her wait. In fact, it says Yehuda really didn't plan on giving her to Shelah, to the youngest son. He was just pushing her off. He didn't want her to kill. He didn't want Shelah to die also. He was pushing her off. So he says, Sarki, and she's right. And Yehuda's given tremendous praise in Chazal for being Maidala Emes, for admitting the truth, for being honest. And I think it's appropriate that perhaps was a tikkun for the mechira of Yosef. Yehuda was the one that actually really, he really did, you know, save Yosef in a way because he set to sell him. But it was his idea to sell him, and the Chazal say that's why he had to go away from his brothers. His brothers later had tainas on him. Oh, it's just like we listened to sell him. You could have saved him also. You could have told us to save him. We might have also listened. So Yehuda is blamed for selling of Yosef, but this is a shikul tikkun, because the selling of Yosef, bottom line, we could call it the chait of kena, but I think just as much, if not more, it's a chesar in the midah of emes. It's not always up to us not to be jealous. We have to work on it. But fine, you're jealous. But what are you doing with that jealousy? Are you making emes? He's Maida al Emes, Yehuda. Now it's a takana of that Avera, that he's Maida. I was wrong. I'd like to say over another Vart. Rabbi Cohn said this Vart over from the Gra. Beautiful Vart. The Pasuk says that Reuven, going back to in the parasha, that Reuven tells him says to throw him into the pit with intention to come back and save him. So it says, Abar reik ein bei mayim. The bar was empty, there was no water inside. So Chazal tells us it's a drasha. It's repetitive. It's empty, ein bei mayim. Why does it have to say ein bei mayim? Just say a bar reik, the bar was empty. Chazal teaches a bar reik, it was empty, ein bei mayim, but there was something else in it. There's already said the bar was empty. Why say there's no water? So Chazal teaches Dafka there was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions inside of it. So the kasha is, Rekon asks, he's not sure if the Gra asked the kasha beferish, but the kasha is, Lamaisa, the Torah is misleading them. Torah is a shtickle, it's not so right. A bar rake, the bar was empty, it wasn't empty. There were snakes and scorpions inside. So the Torah says in a way that's a little bit misleading. It's a little bit not true. Habarek, the bar was empty, there was no water. So just say me, bar ain't bamayim. The bar had no water. The fact that that would have been enough. The bar had no water. The Torah said it had no water and didn't say it was empty. So Pashas, that would be teaching us there was no water, but there was something else. Why tell me it's empty? Ain't bamayim, there's no water inside. It's not empty. So he said, so the Gra says that there's a remez here. We know Torah is compared to Mayim. So the Vard over here is, it's telling us, if Ein by Mayim, if there's no Torah inside a person, Habarek, the pit is empty. I want to say on my own, I don't think the Gra says that. In Perkei Avos, we call them a bar. We call a person that's an Am Haaretz a bar. Person, you know, a bar, the bar is rake. The person, the bar, the pit, is empty. Ein b'mayim, he has no tyra. If you don't have tyra, you're an empty person. Not only an empty person, nechashim ha'kravis yeshbay. You're empty from any greatness, you're empty from perfection, and what do you have? Nechashim ha'kravis, the yitzahara, the nachash, bad midais, scorpions bite, snakes bite, hurting other people, bad midais, ba'bar rake. If you don't have Tyra, Ein b'mayim, you're bar reik. Ein b'mayim, a bar reik. You have no Tyra, the bar is empty. Now I like to say the way I would explain it. What is a pshat? It's very hard to understand. You tell me, a person that doesn't learn Tyra. I know a lot of people that learn Tyra don't have good midos. So let's not talk about that because that's not relevant. Okay, what's your point? We only said the other way. We said if you don't have Torah, you can't have perfect midos. You can't have good midos. We didn't say that a person learns Torah without learning Musar, without focusing on it, he's going to be okay. That's not true. But is it true? You're telling me that if a person doesn't learn Torah, he doesn't have good midos. I know my neighbor. Fart, he's even a guy and he has good midos. You know, I know a lot of non from Jews that have good midos. Very nice people. So, but the way Daniel knows my Yisrael, the way I explain the Yisrael is as follows. The Amkus of the Yisrael is as follows. Good midos doesn't just mean being a nice person. Doesn't just mean being courteous. Good midos is the rock solid commitment to doing what's right, to the good midos, to doing what's right. Let me give you an example. You tell me, let's say there's a guy that's very, very generous. He's very generous to everybody, even to people he doesn't know. Even people he doesn't know, he's generous. He's such a nice person. He likes to make people happy. He really does, and he excels at this better than any yidden. He mamish loves to make people happy. So good midah really is. But let me ask you, if someone dafka did something against him, would he have any havamina that I should be giving generous to him? I'd be generous to him. Why? It doesn't make sense. In Seichel, if your midos are dictated by logic, this is the Yisayah. If your midos are dictated by logic, they're not real midos Yisayahites. Because they're not foolproof. They're not secure. They're flying in the air. Which means that there's a real tremendous chesaron in the entire midah. If it's floating in the air, if it's not straightforward all the way through, that means it's not real. It's not really real. We'll explain a little more to give you the point. So good, he loves to do good things, and that's very nice. It's a nice midah. But the midah is not shalim. It's not really complete. Because it's only doing with strings attached. Only if, not if someone's bad to him. The pasuk says, I've heard this from Rosh Yeshiva, it's from, I think it's from Maral. V'havta reicha kameicha ani Hashem. V'havta has to be connected to Ani Hashem. If you still love your friend like yourself without Ani Hashem connected to it, it's not real v'havta reicha kameicha. It's not really true to the true sense. L'mashal, I say this, I think this is half of a fellow to think about. Half of a fellow. The Germans, yeah. I want to bring it up deeper. Listen carefully. You know, people say it over, but listen carefully to what's being said. The Germans, let's say they were really polite. Let's say they really were polite. And let's say they really were courteous. And let's say they even felt it was really important to them to be courteous. It wasn't just a show. They really cared to be polite. And they really had feelings for their friends. But what happened when one guy came along? It wasn't just one. When one guy came along, Yimach Shemayu V'zichra Yishabur Elmei Alamim. Nothing can ever be done to replace what he did. That's what Hashem wanted. One guy came along and rallied up people to kill the Jews. How? How could you tell me? Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. This German in 1930 was a very nice, fine fellow. He was nice to all his Jewish neighbors. He was really a nice person. Really. He was even nice to his wife. We didn't discuss go into that. He was even nice to his wife. Even if his wife burnt the supper, he was mavish. He's mavish. Very, very nice to everybody. Not, 8 years later, 10 years later, he was involved in the killing of human life. So now I want you to understand, explain me something. Does that mean that he was a Baal Midas in 1930, and in 1939, all of a sudden he became not a Baal Midas? If the Midah was so weak, that someone could come along and convince you to be a murderer, that means the Midah wasn't really there. It wasn't really because you had a true feeling for your friends that was connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it was full through and through. I have commitment because of the Torah, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be have rachmanis my friends. The Torah says leisirtzach, I'm committed not to kill. The Torah says mishkav zachar, I'm committed against it. The Torah says so. We don't have to go. You know, George Bush can come against the people that men can. I don't use the word in the base medrash. George Bush could speak out against men being with men and all these people. Bottom line, we don't have to think about it. The Torah says you're chayiv misa. The Torah says it's wrong. The Torah says I can't kill somebody, barring some exceptions. The Torah says you can't kill somebody. He deserves it. The Torah says you can't kill somebody. So there's nothing to think about. It's pure. It's through. Through and through. If someone could be convinced, can be riled up to kill someone, so bad to me, you're telling me he was a Baal Midas in 1930? He was a real Baal Midas? A real Baal Midas can go ahead 10 years later and kill somebody? A real Baal Midas? He changed? He did change, but he was just turned the other way. It wasn't shot that it was a complete change of the personality of the person. He lost himself, he went crazy. It was the same person. He still thinks he's a Baal Midas. He still thinks I'm a nice guy. I don't think he's doing anything wrong. There's no permanence. It's not real Midas. It's very deep inside it, if you think about it. So now, take that person, take the guy around you. Take other people around you. You have to know, are they real Baal Midas? If you tell me, oh, my boss at work is such a Baal Midas, so nice to me. Do you know that there's an 80-90% chance that if he would have been in Germany, he would have been murdering, killing people in a concentration camp? And you're telling me he's a Baal Midas? You want to tell me that he has nice qualities to learn from, he does nice things to learn from. Fine, so Charlotte, fine, you can learn some things. You know, maybe you can learn some things, you know, practical things, practical etiquette, practical ways of making people feel good you can learn out. To tell me he's a Baal Midas? You're telling me someone that's a future murderer is a Baal Midas? Oh, but there's no Nazi here. What's the difference? Think about it. Batsim, he's not a real Baal Midas. Baal Midas has to be anchored down. It's not movable. He's not going to go Shemayim, Hashem's going to give him a plaque, the Baal Midas award, because he never killed somebody. He didn't overcome his bad Midas. He's still very flimsy. He wasn't connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If someone stabbed him in the back, if another business guy cheated him, what do you think he would do to him? The nicest guy in the world. If someone did something bad to him. You know, if his wife was obnoxious to him, you think he's, oh, I'm Michael you, I forgive you. You could only be Michael people. It's not logical to be Michael people that treat you disgusting. It's not logical to take abuse from people. It's not logical. Makes sense. Someone slaps me, don't hit him back. Someone makes fun of me, Michael him. That makes sense. Forgive him. Buy him a present. Someone does something wrong with you, buy him a present. That makes sense. This is logic. Write this in a book. Write this for a guyish book. They'll think you're off your locker. You have to... It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so. The Torah says so. It's beyond what you think. It's what the Torah says. And that's what I'm going to work on doing and feeling. Because the Torah says so. And I will not be able to be moved. I'll not be able to move. Yes, there's some guy that Hitler couldn't have convinced. Question was, maybe someone else could have convinced them. Question is, are they really through and through about me, those intrinsically? Unless it's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. So maybe you're talking to some guy that have such a emunah in God. So I'm not thinking. But unless it's connected to the fundamentals of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's connected to Hashem, that we say Torah. Torah is Torah Hashem. Unless it's connected to the Torah, to Hashem. If a guy learns a Musar Sefer and he believes in Hashem, so maybe it's Chochmas Hashem. It's not from common sense. It has to be because of a divinely belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is what Hashem wants. This is right. And no matter what, I will not change my mind. It's not possible for me to change. I really think, I've said this, but Stam, you have to be very careful how you look at your fellow Jews. You look at your fellow Jew and you say, Oh, he didn't say please. He didn't say thank you. I'm working with my fellow, people in business. He doesn't hold open the door for people. He's not so courteous. The guy are much more courteous. Very, very careful. Think about it. Do you realize how chashuv this yid is? Do you know this yid gives staka? Do you know this yid would never lie? I'm talking about a good yid. Do you know this yid who doesn't hold the door for people? Do you know that he would never stab someone in the back? He never cheats someone. He wouldn't steal from somebody. Can you say that about your fellow guyish employer who smiled at you and held the door and said good morning to you? Can you say that he would never stab someone in the back if someone stabbed him? Can you say that about him? If you can't say about the Jew, fine, so he's not much better. But you know many good Jews that maybe are not perfected. They're not perfected. But that's, like we spoke about another time, that's just the flowers, the chassid of the flowers. That's peripheral stuff. Real midos comes down to the internal stuff. The real hardcore, what's a person made out of? A person be very good at saying please and saying, good morning. A person be very good at that, and it's a beautiful thing to work on. It's a beautiful thing to make people feel good and be polite. It's a beautiful thing, but it's an action. It's a beautiful thing. It doesn't necessarily tell me that the person's really deep down guts, about midos, a guts, a person that's a straight person, that's a person of yashas. Sometimes there are people that are very good at those things. Doesn't mean that there's a structure behind it. It's a beautiful building, but with a lousy foundation, there's nothing behind it. And it could fall. It could fall. And it will fall. Maybe not to the point where it'll be, if he's not in Nazi Germany, maybe not to the point that it'll kill. But it'll fall. It'll fall when someone stabs him in the back. It'll fall when his wife, is obnoxious to him. It'll fall. It will fall. It can't be held up on all conditions unless it's rooted in Ani Hashem. Taking a perspective, I don't mean to hit Goyim. I don't mean to hit a non-from Jew. I just mean to bring out the Yisite. You have to think about the Yisite. I want to end with one Mari de Gavar from Rai Per, one of those words that you won't forget once I tell it to you, if you haven't heard it yet, like Kalish hasn't told you yet. It says by Yosef, it says that they took him, viked in the parasha. Viked in the parasha, it says that they took Yosef and they sold him to the Yishmaelim, and in the caravan was nice smelling stuff. So Chazal tell us that even though normally the Arabs carry bad stuff, so it tells us the matan schar and shel tzaddikim, the great reward of tzaddikim, that Hashem arranged it. They have beautiful smelling stuff in the caravan, and he didn't have disgusting smelling stuff that should hurt him, or pashup shat, not literally damage him or just disgust him. Baruch, look at the schar of tzaddikim. It's a man the Chazal. I pass an obvious question. What do you mean here? This is the place to say it, right? Look at the great schar, imagine. Look at the great schar of tzaddikim. Yosef's being sold. He's being sold to Egypt by his own brothers. Okay, let's just forget about that. But look at the beautiful smelling stuff in the caravan. Look at the schar of tzaddikim. He's being sold. He's being sent away from family. Do you think Yosef was thinking too much about, it smells so beautiful in here. Maybe he was. Tzaddik. I mean, that wasn't his thing, main thing on his mind. That much we know. Smells beautiful in here. I'm an Eilam Hava. He's in Gehenna. It's like being put in prison in the dungeon. The beautiful roses here. This person's imagining to say over a story, look at the Scharab Tzaddikim, this Yid was put in a dungeon and he was locked up without bread and water, but it was a miracle. Instead of the usual disgusting smelling thing they leave in the jail, there happened to have been a bouquet of roses that gave a tremendous, beautiful smell. Ah, look at the Scharab Tzaddikim. It's a little bit strange. So I kind of said, oh, half of the Gevar. The part is that what did it mean to Yosef? And a person is excited in life. What did it mean to Yosef? The part is, what does it mean to Yosef? Yosef being sold to his brothers. There's a feeling a natural person would have of abandonment. Where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is this happening to me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a beautiful smelling roses, which is not normal. Hashem is sending Yosef a message. This is all good. This will all be good. I'm watching you. I'm with you. I know what's going on. I'm directing this. This is under my guidance. This is under my direction. Don't worry, Yosef. I'm with you. That's the message. That's the Schar Tzaddikim. That even though they're suffering, I mean, all Yosef was suffering, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still cares about a Tzaddikim and sends them a message, which gives a person chizuk, which helps a person go through life that, oh, sending a beautiful smell. You find many times a person goes through Yisurim, but it gives a person tremendous chizuk. We know with Shaya Zecharenu Levracha, there is, you know, Aaron Sefer never told me all the hashkachas. He said those amazing hashkachas, the Shaya's Levaya. A lot of Bachrim were able to had tickets to LA because we're collecting for Purim. So they all had tickets, Mamish, the day Mamish should come in for his Levaya. They all had tickets already because they were going in to collect for Purim. Other little things. One of the last things in Shaya's notebook spoke about life is too short in those last few words, in big letters. Life is too short. What does that do for us? It tells us, I know, I'm directing this. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. This is from Hashem. This is from me. When a person feels HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and Hashem's guidance, that gives a person the chizuk, that gives a person the strength to be able to deal with his tzaras, to be able to deal with his thing. A person has to be very in tune with what's around him, what messages HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending him, what things are going on around him. These things give people chizuk and help people go through life. When things don't always work out the way we wish they would work out, the way our human minds perceive success, the way our human minds perceive what would be good for me and what would be great, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, and in Mirtz Hashem you'll find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends little things to tell you, I know what's going on here, and don't worry, it's all called Avir Rahman al-Tavav, and whatever Hashem does for the best. Yosef, you can't understand now why I'm going to Egypt, and look what happened just a few years later. He becomes a leader of Mitzrayim. In hindsight, sometimes we're zocha to be able to, it works out in a way that we're able to see what Hashem's plans were. But using our short experiences from our lives, different experiences, when we saw in the hindsight that things worked out for the best, that a person should ask to try to use that for the future. That when things don't work out, everything doesn't work out, the way it looks bad, it looks tough, a person has to remember, just mechazik himself, that we don't know what Kadosh Baruch Hu's plans. And the tzaddikim, and Hashem does this for many people, because Hashem's rahmanas, that Hashem will send you that message, will send you that flowers, will send you that beautiful smell, which shouldn't be here. There shouldn't be a good smell here. And that was a message to Yosef, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything's going to be okay, and I'm watching you, and I'm directing you. All right.